SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FSC, it is Football Full Circle on a Tuesday at the end of Week 7 in the National Football League, following another doubleheader to round out a week in the NFL to set the stage already with plenty of injury news and notes for a new week in the NFL on the horizon. He is Scott Wetzel, I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Scott will look back on the two games on a Monday night to end out Week 7. The statement made by the Ravens on the road and the Cardinals walking it off at home in a low-scoring affair. The injuries that we saw, perhaps devastating for Tampa on Monday. In the injury news, Scott, for many teams around the NFL entering weekend number 8 on the horizon. All of that in this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern on FFC.
Yeah, we've had some tough weekends injury-wise over the years, NFL-wise, Ben, but I tell you what, you can't match what happened this weekend when you include Sunday's games and then last time at Tampa Bay losing the battle and then maybe the war with not one but both wide receivers going out with serious look at injuries, right? I mean, this is the danger of betting futures. You know, you got a ticket on Tampa Bay, whether it's the Super Bowl or win the division even, and your chances, if the injuries are as severe as they looked, they're probably out the window. So, but just another reminder of how brutal a sport the NFL can be.
Yeah, it is part of the sad reality, Scott. Each and every week, each and every game, each and every Sunday or Monday night slate, something is going to happen. You hope it is not gruesome as it was last night. The injuries to the insult, but for the Baltimore Ravens, make it 5 wins in a row. Scott, after a dreadful and winless 0-2 start for the flock, the Ravens have responded with 5 consecutive victories yesterday, going to Tampa in the first of our 2 Monday Night Football games and winning 41-31, covering as a 4.5-point road favorite, a total at 49.5, where we expected offense. We got a lot of points. It skies over. The Ravens have covered in all 5 victories on this 5-game win streak. And Scott, I think there is an argument to be made following Week 7, entering Week 8. Hey, listen, Kansas City is the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL at 6-0, and they own the direct bragging rights over Baltimore from last year's AFC Championship game. But at least right now, the Ravens might be the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go there. You know, it's tough to say they're better than Kansas City when they lost to Kansas City. But this is why we brought up last week, Ben. I said, you know, why not hop on Kansas City now at 5-1? Because they still had that lead. They got the head-to-head tiebreaker against Baltimore. You know, the key was this weekend, you know, maybe they would have lost to San Francisco. Then they kind of shrunk that lead, which is in essence really 3 since they hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. But they're able to win, and it's still plus 450. I mean, I got to see a team as great as Baltimore is playing, and boy, offensively, you couldn't have come up. They had running, they had passing, they had scrambling out of Lamar. I mean, that is just a quintessential offensive game for Baltimore. But when push comes to shove, are they going to go into Kansas City and win a playoff game, which they're going to have to reach the Super Bowl? I got to see it to believe it. I still think Kansas City at plus 450 is still a pretty good price. I mean, you know, you get them in the Super Bowl, you're going to have a great opportunity to kind of middle that thing or hedge, because they're going to be favorites in the Super Bowl over any NFC team. You know, maybe not big favorites, but so they look good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm still, sticking with Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Scott, we'll talk season outlook for those NFC teams and mainly the Niners, who have now moved back. They are no longer the favorites in the NFC, but the two best prices to win Super Bowl 59 both hail from the same conference. It is the Chiefs as the favorites at plus 450. The Ravens now only a dollar behind at plus 550. And I'm not trying to discredit what the Chiefs have done, doing it yet again, winning all 6 games, covering in 5, even with key offensive injuries. Just with how things have looked, and Patrick Mahomes with a negative touchdown to interception ratio, Baltimore looks like an absolute wagon. KC is there as well. We would expect both teams to potentially meet up once again in the AFC Championship game. And based on postseason pedigree, of course, that heavily skews toward KC. But as for the game last night, Baltimore wins by double digits. Scott, it wasn't always easy. The Bucs scored on their opening offensive possession. They scored on their second offensive possession. A touchdown was called back. They settle for a field goal. The Ravens answer with a touchdown of their own. And then Tampa driving at the end of the first quarter looked like they had an opportunity to take a double-digit lead. Baker Mayfield throws an interception in the end zone, intercepted by Marlon Humphrey. Two passes later from Baker, another interception following a Ravens touchdown. From that point, it was all Baltimore. The Bucs did score 21 points in the fourth quarter to only lose by 10, albeit still unable to cover the number. We will highlight all the success for the flock in the Ravens on this five-game win streak. But Scott, in the final minute of the game, with the Buccaneers down by 10 points, a gruesome ankle injury to Chris Godwin, who has the most receptions of any player in the NFL this year, 50 through seven games for the Bucs, but his season is now over. A dislocated ankle. He has already had surgery. His 2024 season for the Buccaneers has already come to a close.
Yeah, you know, and I know a lot of people better saying, well, he shouldn't have been in there. Listen, you know what? I've seen crazy things happen. There was over a minute left. You need two scores. You know, you could get a long pass, kick a field goal, go for the onside kick with about a minute or so left, 50 seconds left to get a Hail Mary. You know, is it likely? No, but is it a possibility? Yeah. You know, especially considering Tampa Bay just scored the last two touchdowns. You know, they were on a roll. They had scored two TDs in the final couple minutes. In fact, if you were laying 3.5, as I was, like, you know, if this dopey team up 41-17 with 6 minutes left doesn't cover the spread, but you were an oh-by-the-way touchdown, you know, from not covering that 3.5. So the game was still not necessarily over, so I can't say that. It's just one of those crazy plays. You know, you get tackled that way 5,000 times. Nothing ever happens, and this is the one time it did happen. But, you know, back to that interception. You know, if you want to circle, you know, where this game changed, Ben, 10-7, okay, you're not going to stop Baltimore. That interception in the red zone, you know, in the end zone, rather. You just, if you're Baker Mayfield, you can't throw that. You throw it to, like, triple covered. The guy wasn't open just at all. That's where it really turned for me.
And the Ravens score just a few plays later after the first of two deep connections between Lamar Jackson and Rashad Bateman. And then two passes after that, the second pick of the night for Marlon Humphrey, who, by the way, also exited the game. The Ravens saying afterward, it doesn't appear to be overly severe or significant. That is good news for a guy that has been the staple of that Baltimore secondary. Sure, Baker still threw for 370 and three touchdowns against a Ravens secondary that is the worst in the NFL in terms of yardage allowed, but a lot of that playing from behind. First touchdown of the night, Scott, to Mike Evans, who was battling a hamstring injury entering and re-aggravated it early in the opening half. He is set to miss some time. He is going to have an MRI. So again, it's that injury to the insult of losing on your own home turf to falling to 4-3, and you might be without your two top targets, guys that have been the staple of this Buccaneers offense for 8 to 10 years. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin both could miss a considerable amount of time for the Bucs.
Yeah, it's amazing how perception is too, right? We go into the season thinking the NFC South is going to be bad. 2 weeks in, you know, Tampa Bay's 2-0, New Orleans is 2-0, right? They just put 40 plus on the board against Dallas. You know Atlanta's going to be good, and you're thinking, hey, this is going to be a great division. You know, here we are 5 weeks later. Tampa Bay loses its best two weapons. They're in trouble. Carolina stinks. Atlanta can't fight their way out of a paper bag. So, you know, what's left in that division? It's back to being the NFC South that we kind of have been living with, Ben, for the last couple of seasons, really.
The Saints have dropped 5 in a row, of course, dealing with their own injuries at the quarterback position. The Falcons are the slight minus money favorite, Scott, at minus 165. The Bucs, along with Atlanta, the two teams above 500 at 4-3. The Falcons do have that direct edge at the moment because of the victory on Thursday night a few weeks ago. We'll talk more about Baltimore in just a little bit, but the nightcap of our Monday night doubleheader out in the desert between the Cardinals and the Chargers. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
The nightcap of the Monday night doubleheader to end out week number 7 in the desert, and the updated outlooks the rest of the way for all four clubs that played in the two games on Monday night. To Glendale, Arizona we go. Chargers and the Cardinals. 1.5 spread in favor of the Bolts on the road, Scott. A total at 44.5 entering the Monday night doubleheader. We expected the first game in Tampa between two teams at 4-2 with a higher number at 49.5 to be a good high-scoring offensive game. It's what we got. Some looked at the second leg of our doubleheader and said it might be a little bit less appealing visually and probably featuring less points, and that's what we saw. The Cardinals walk it off with a 32-yard field goal from Chad Ryland as the time expires. Arizona wins 17-15 to pick up its third win of the year. The Chargers, after a victory last week in Denver following its early season bye, now fall back to an even 500 at 3-3. The Cards win outright as a 1.5 underdog. Total last night, Scott, of 44.5 does stay well under.
Yeah, a couple things here, Ben. First up with Arizona since they won. Was it an ugly win? Absolutely. But will they take it? Sure. But is it really an encouraging win if you're a Cardinal fan? No, it's not, Ben. You know, you're not going to be able to win on a big-time level throwing for less than 150 yards. But when you have Kyler Murray, is he going to be able to scramble, make some plays, win some games like he did last night on that touchdown run? Yeah. And you're going to walk out of the game saying, all right, we beat a halfway decent team. The Chargers were on our way, blah, 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 blah. But in reality, you're not going to win throwing for 145 yards. He's going to stay in the league. Arizona's going to be around 500. You're going to see games where you think, okay, this team can be taken seriously. And then you're going to get clunkers because you're going to need to throw the football somewhere along the line. And I don't see Arizona being able to do that. Chargers, similar thing in that it's very clear. The MO in all three of their losses, they're 3-3. They've rushed for 61 yards or less. When they can't run the football, Ben, they can't throw the football. It's not because Herbert's not any good, obviously. They don't have the wide receivers. I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb. 61 yards or less, including last night. You can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. You're not going to win games.
59 yards on the ground, Scott, 2.7 yards per pop for the Bolts against a Cardinals defense that entered last night as the third worst rushing defense around the National Football League. It should have been tailor-made for Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh to control the outcome of the game and the game clock as they like to do. To your point about Kyler Murray, 145 through the air, a touchdown and an interception on the opening offensive possession of the game. He throws a pick, the Chargers take it away, and then a fumble that gives the ball back to Arizona on the INT return. Scott, we have talked often in the last decade about the Chargers curse, whether it was Phillip Rivers as the quarterback, Anthony Lynn, or Brandon Staley as the head coach, or now Jim Harbaugh. In weird, wacky games, the Chargers often come up on the losing end. You get a pick on the opening drive. You fumble it right back over. It even results in a punt just a couple plays later from the Cardinals. Later in the opening quarter, Justin Herbert, beautiful deep ball down the left sideline to Jalen Reagor, who is inches away from the goal line, fumbles the football for a touchback. The Chargers did not score an offensive touchdown last night. Cameron Dicker, the kicker, a perfect 5-for-5, including putting LA in front 15-14 under 2 minutes remaining, but unable to hold on for the Chargers. Arizona, agreed, Scott, not overwhelmingly impressive in terms of the outcome. They have been a good underdog, though, under Jonathan Gannon, booked as a dog 22 times in 27 games since the start of last year. Now 12-10 against the spread this year, 3-2 ATS with two outright victories. Kyler Murray has thrown for less than 215 yards, Scott, in 6 or 7 games for the Cardinals this year. Did have that 44-yard touchdown scamper last night. James Conner, a bright spot, 152 scrimmage yards, including a big pass reception on that final scoring drive that set up the Chad Ryland game-winning field goal. How about this for a stat, Scott, as we'll talk about the Chargers' outlook in just a moment. Kyler Murray, as Arizona's starting quarterback, has not won back-to-back games since 2021, weeks 6 and 7. The Cardinals have now started a win streak. They're a 3.5-point underdog against your Dolphins on Sunday in South Florida, as we expect Tua Tagovailoa to return. We'll talk about Tua in just a moment. But this is going to be the Cardinals, right? 3-4, flirting with 500 if the trend of not winning two straight games with Kyler Murray as the QB does continue.
Yeah, it's amazing. This year, Ben, that division is there for the taking, right? With all of San Francisco's issues, Rams aren't doing anything special at this point anyway. It is definitely Seattle be halfway decent, but they should, kind of in that Arizona class. If they could just kind of get over the hump. I mean, the excuse was he never had any great wide receivers. Seemingly has one in Marvin Harrison Jr., but outside of a game or two, he really has been insignificant in that and that Arizona offense. And as you mentioned, they ran the ball great last night. So if you can't throw the ball when you're running great, how are you ever going to be able to throw the ball when the running game is not there? So really weird. And two things. We found another loophole in NFL rules, which I'll get to in a second. And then another one, which I'm not a big fan of. Key play in this game, Ben. Chargers got the football. They're driving. They get a first down. They could probably kick the game-winning field goal, final play of the game. But they don't call a penalty because the pass was uncatchable. Now, 9 times out of 10, not every time, but 9 times out of 10, a pass interference can be a defensive holding penalty as well. Defensive holding penalty doesn't matter. The ball can be up in the upper deck in the stand. It's still defensive holding. So I wonder why officials call a pass interference versus defensive holding. Because, if they call the defensive holding, Chargers get a first down with 2 minutes left, and they can run out the clock, and they kick the game-winning field goal. But they don't. They say the ball's uncatchable. But, theoretically, if you have a running play to the right side and your left tackle is holding, even though he's 10 feet away, 10 yards away from the play, it's still holding. Holding is holding, right? So why on pass interference penalties do they say, well, the ball's got to be catchable? Don't like that rule.
Yeah. I think part of the criteria for defensive holding in the secondary is the ball has not been released from the quarterback's hand, where pass interference is you get there and alter the pass before it has had time to get to the receiver's hands. But I would agree, Scott, we're really kind of splitting hairs at times. The outlooks for all four teams in action in the Monday night doubleheader at the end of week 7, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, we discussed it at the very start as we were breaking down Baltimore's success last night in Tampa. 5 consecutive wins for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, is playing at that MVP level once again. 3 consecutive games of at least 330 total yards through the air and on the ground. In all 5 wins for the flock, the king has lived up to his name in his first year in Baltimore. Derrick Henry, at least 92 rushing yards in all 5 straight wins for the Ravens. 132 plus in 4 of the 5, including a buck 69 yesterday against the Bucks. We can argue about where Baltimore is in the pantheon of the AFC, but Scott, they are the hottest team in the NFL right now, winners of 5 consecutive games. What do you think the outlook is for the Ravens the rest of the way, bouncing back from that 0-2 start?
Listen, it's got to be positive, right? Weird game for Derrick Henry last night. He had 4 carries, Ben, late third quarter. Not in the third quarter, not on one drop. For the entire game, late third quarter, they were showing him on the sidelines, helmet was off. He was not being utilized at all. They were doing those swing passes, all the time, and he wasn't in the game. And yet somehow or another, he runs for 80-plus yards for a touchdown, ends up with 15 carries. But, you know, had they lost that game, I'm sure Harbaugh would have been asked, well, what are you doing? You got Derrick Henry. He literally had four carries late third quarter. It was a bizarre game plan. I mean, listen, it worked, right? 41 points on the board. But, you know, it looks good when you win. But, you know, you find a way to lose that game. You know, Tampa Bay doesn't, you know, completely fall apart second half. And everyone's going to be like, you know, come on, coach. You know, you got to, you know, play the guy. So, but listen, they're the second best team, right? You know, when you see Miami and all the struggles they've had and the Jets and Cincinnati, although I'm still holding out hope, Ben, on Cincinnati. I'm going to go down with this ship, you know, until they're officially eliminated. I just can't help but think back in the past couple of years going toe-to-toe, 1 year beating Kansas City, last year not beating them, that they might still present the biggest challenge to the Chiefs because they've shown they can beat Kansas City in the postseason as well in KC. So, but I'll put Baltimore for, you know, for obvious sake, they get the much, much, much better record. But when everything is said and done, I still think it'll be the Bengals. That'll present the biggest challenge to Kansas City, not Baltimore.
And Scott, you're not wrong in thinking that, at least to have a chance to do so. The Bengals are favored to see the postseason despite a 3-4 record in that 0-3 start after week 7. The Ravens are the hefty favorites in the AFC North at -340. The Steelers are also 5-2, +450 price to win that divisional crown, but the Ravens certainly are moving in front. Baltimore second best price to win the AFC at +280, just 70 cents behind Kansas City. The Chiefs, though, the favorites and the only undefeated team left in the NFL at +210. And Scott, from the Ravens to the Chargers, one of the reasons the Bengals have a minus money price to see the playoffs still is because the Chargers lose last night. They're even .500. You look around the AFC at the end of 7 weeks, as we have shared the last few. There's not all that many teams with a winning record, and certainly not teams we expected to be above .500 at this moment. The Dolphins 2-4, the Jets 2-5, even the Bengals are sub .500. The Browns have one win. The Jaguars are struggling mightily as well. All to say, Scott, 7 teams out of the 16 in the AFC as a whole, an above .500 record at the end of 7 weeks, and 2 of those 7 teams, the Broncos and the Colts, both at 4-3 and both favored to miss the postseason at this moment. So you throw in the Bengals with a losing record. You could even include the Jets and the Dolphins somehow, some way. There is still hope, Scott, that they could turn it around in the final two thirds of this season.
Yeah, there's hope. But realistically, you know, in the case of the Dolphins anyway, you know, they had everyone last year and they were overmatched when it came to the postseason by Kansas City. Right. So, you know, a healthy two, you know, playing the great. And I still don't think that the Dolphin team is on that same level as Kansas City. It's funny. We kind of had the same thing last year when we talked about the AFC, especially when we were comparing it with the NFC, right? AFC is so much better with Buffalo and all the teams, right, on the list of all. And what happened, you know, a lot of those teams didn't live up to the hype. And it's the same thing again this year, you know, whether it's the Chargers, whether it's, you know, all the teams, you mentioned the Browns, Dolphins, Jets. Realistically, if it's not going to be Cincinnati, Baltimore, or Kansas City, if there was a bet, I would take those three versus the field.
The Chargers basically right now a pick'em price to make the playoffs, -110 to make, -110 to miss. They're 3-3. We shall see. We'll discuss a little bit further from Monday night in the injury updates you need. That's all coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, we said it before the break. The Chargers, a basic pick'em to make or miss the postseason, -110 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook on either side. The Chargers are 3-3. All three losses, they have struggled to run the football, which is ingrained in their DNA. So much so, Scott, that even when their promising young quarterback, Justin Herbert, throws for nearly 350 yards and has a passer rating of 97.1, they fail to score an offensive touchdown and they lose a football game 17-15. It is not the recipe of success for this Chargers team, not this year, with their offensive identity being mainly on the ground. Scott, are you buying into the Bolts at all, being able to contend for a playoff spot in the AFC?
You know, I actually was before last night, Ben. You got to find a way to beat Arizona, right? Up and down the field they go. Nothing but field goals, though. Can't punch it in. And that's the earmark of a team that really doesn't have any, like, A players, right? You could move between the 20s, but when the defense stiffens up and you don't have 40 yards for the defensive backs to have to worry about behind them, and they can play a little bit tighter on the wide receivers, you can't score. And that's Arizona, and that's the Chargers. So,
yeah.
Playoffs, yes, because the AFC is so bad. I can't believe I'm saying that after week 7. We thought it was going to be the greatest thing in the world. But, you know, they're going to be a 500 team. So a 500 team or right around there is going to be, you know, playoff worthy come final 2-3 weeks of the NFL season. So, but serious challengers? No, I don't think they're challenging, though.
And again, Scott, we talked about the Chargers curse that has plagued this organization either in San Diego or LA from closing out tightly contested games. You would expect Jim Harbaugh, the disciplinarian, to have his teams organized and ready to avoid that. It did kind of catch them a little bit off guard last night. Scott, for the Cardinals and the Bucs, the two NFC teams in action, of course, we're not really going to get a true picture of what Tampa looks like without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans until we see it over the next few weeks. Unfortunate for the Buccaneers in a huge NFC South game this upcoming weekend against the Falcons. For the Cardinals, though, Scott, the NFC West, it's not a world beater of a division right now. The Rams are getting healthier, but they've won just 2 games. The Niners were the NFC and Super Bowl favorites, but they're sub 500, 3-4. We'll talk about their injury outlook offensively in just a moment. The Seahawks have showed their blemishes, but they're 4-3, the only team in the division with a winning record. And there are the Cardinals, just a game behind as well. What's your outlook for Arizona?
Listen, they could, like I said, as we talked about earlier, I think they're going to be right around a 500 team, 8-9, 9-8. And while most years that wouldn't even come close to getting it done in the NFC West, but this year it actually might. You know, especially knowing San Francisco's got to play Dallas, you know, and now they beat them pretty handily last year. But, you know, if you told me they lost to the Cowboys, I wouldn't be that surprised, right? So the Niners could, believe it or not, Ben, the Niners could be 3-5. I mean, that is like so, like, wow. I didn't think they had 5 losses all year, let alone after week number 8. So it is there for the taking. You know, if Kyler Murray can just learn to throw the football, get Marvin Harrison Jr. to be a little bit more involved in the offense, defense has actually been halfway decent for Arizona, believe it or not, outside of a couple of games. But again, much like the Chargers, right? Similar boat. I think they can challenge because we're really seeing a separation of state here in both leagues, AFC and NFC. You got 2 or 3 teams that are going to be really, really good. Then you're going to have 2 or 3 that are going to be, you know, pretty good. And then it just kind of drops off a little bit. And you have so many playoff teams now that, you know, if you can be 500, you're going to challenge for a playoff spot. I don't think they get in, Arizona, but I think final month of the season, they're going to be challenging for it.
Especially if we go back and forth, which has been the calling card for those Cardinals. 3-point road underdog in Miami, week number 8. So, Scott, let's move it forward. Let's start with those San Francisco 49ers, because at the end of any week, you get some official confirmations about things that you see on Sunday or in the NFL weekend. And it's basically all bad news for the 49ers. Test confirming yesterday that Brandon Ayuk has suffered a season-ending knee injury, a torn ACL and MCL. He is out for the remainder of this year. Deebo Samuel dealing with an illness in the Super Bowl rematch on Sunday. Turns out it's not just a little bit of the sniffles. He has pneumonia. Deebo Samuel has been hospitalized with fluid in his lungs. His timeline to return, very uncertain at the moment. Christian McCaffrey hoping to return, but at least not until after the bye week, which comes up following Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys in week number 9. And just to add on to the laundry list, Scott, George Kittle dealing with a foot sprain. He's now considered day-to-day. It could not get much worse for San Francisco, a Niners team that is below 500.
Yeah, I mean, any Brock Purdy doubter will now have the true test, right? If Brock Purdy can overcome all these injuries and all these star players not being out and then be successful, then you have to finally admit, doubters, that, hey, you know what? Brock Purdy's pretty darn good. If he doesn't, doesn't mean he's bad, but it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't get him to that next level of, okay, you know what? We got to really, really appreciate and respect Brock Purdy for being a good quarterback. So there are a lot of people this offseason, Ben, I remember you and I talked about it, that you know, we're down a little bit on San Francisco, and neither one of us, you know, without putting words in your mouth, could quite understand that and come to grips with that, but I don't know if they were predicting injuries or not, but maybe, you know, in the NFL, after 2 or 3 years, you know, it's eventually got to come to roost. You don't stay healthy that long in the NFL. You generally somehow or another just get hit with a bunch of injuries, and they're getting it. So does this mean they can't turn it around? I don't know. I wouldn't be too encouraged about Christian McCaffrey. I mean, whatever's going on with him, you know, this is taking a lot longer than just a little bump, little bruise, little whatever. I mean, he's going overseas trying to get, you know, things done to help his foot out. This might just be one of those years, Ben, for San Fran, where it's, you know, it's not going to happen. We'll just reload for next season.
For sure. Scott, the only thing that confused me about San Francisco was the fact they were placed in front of Kansas City at a few points of the offseason with a shorter price to win a Super Bowl. And it wasn't exactly rah-rah, the boys are back, we're all invested. There was all the issues with Trent Williams holding out, Brandon Ayuk holding in, looking for a new contract. Some of just didn't feel like an overly optimistic offseason to not expect all of these injuries. And you're right. Listen, I don't really think that Christian McCaffrey was the offensive player of the year last year, not demeaning what he means to this organization. But the other injuries on the outside, far more significant to me, because Jordan Mason has done enough in terms of production to kind of lessen some of the blow that losing McCaffrey is. And let's not forget, Juwan Jennings was ruled out for Sunday, did not even play in that game against Kansas City. And Scott, if you are a detractor against Brock Purdy, his last three games have not been great. Multiple interceptions in 2 of 3. 3 interceptions without a single touchdown pass last week against the Chiefs. He has thrown multiple interceptions in 2 of the last 3 for San Francisco. Had 3 total games prior to this year with multiple interceptions. Not great for San Francisco. 4.5-point favorite still against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Scott, it's the renewal of that old NFC rivalry against the Cowboys. Good news for Dallas, who also does not enter feeling overly great about where things stand. At least they're on the road. All 3 wins on the road for the boys this year.
Yeah. You know, in San Francisco, Ben, you know, they're only 6-5 straight up their last 11 home games. And this comes off a streak where I forget the exact numbers, but it was something goofy. Something like 18-2 straight up and against the spread at home. I mean, they were just crushing teams left and right. But over the last year plus now, it's under 500 as well. They did beat up Dallas last year, but you got to believe that's maybe inspires Dallas that much more. I don't know. Who knows what you're getting out of this Cowboy team, right? But I don't know if I would put San Francisco, when you look at all their injuries, as an over field goal favorite in this contest. I mean, it's got field goal, to me, written all over it.
And again, Scott, for the first time this year, even after the sluggish start for San Francisco, they still remain the NFC title favorites. No longer after 7 weeks. It's the Lions in front, +370. The Niners, the second best price at +470. And oh, by the way, for the Cowboys, you got Jerry Jones saying that Mike McCarthy is designing bad plays and bad concepts on offense out in public domain. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Listen, it's one of the unfortunate realities of a long NFL season, especially now as we near the midway point. Injury news starts to pile up. Hopefully some of it is optimistic and you get returns. Scott, we did hear this week, and we heard from him yesterday, Tua Tagovailoa eligible to return from injured reserve tomorrow to start practicing once again for Miami. The hope is he will be back on the practice field and ready to go for Sunday at home hosting the Cardinals. We have mentioned the spread a few times. The Dolphins, a full field goal favorite at home in the anticipation that Tua Tagovailoa will return from that scary concussion suffered week number two against the Buffalo Bills. Listen. A lot of people have speculated about Tagovailoa's football future. He has made the decision, along with his family and Miami's medical staff, he is ready and willing to come back. Scott, how does it impact your outlook for a Dolphins team that has started just 2-4 and is the worst scoring offense around the National Football League at this moment?
Yeah, and probably has the most overrated head coach maybe in the history of the NFL, Ben. As a Dolphin fan, am I upset about this team? Absolutely. You know, they're going up against the second worst. It's kind of like the Chargers last night not being able to run the ball against Arizona, which has the third worst rushing defense, right? Colts have the second worst defense in the NFL. And they not only couldn't get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, by far two best wide receivers, right? They only threw to them twice until there were 3 minutes late in the game. They had only thrown to their two best wide receivers two times. I mean, that is just like, hello, what are you doing on that? I don't care if it's you and me, a quarterback. I'm still designing plays to get to, you know, to get to the ball to these guys. So I don't know what this Dolphin team is doing. I said it. I think they got one more bullet left in the chamber with Tua. I didn't think they would use it this early in the season, but if he gets another concussion, Ben.
Yeah.
You know, listen, no one wants the guy to have a serious injury, you know, on the field. And that's no doubt with you. I don't doubt for a second the NFL is saying don't play. Because the last thing we want is, you know, the DeMar Hamlin situation. We don't want to see some player, no matter who it is, gets seriously hurt. That is bad news. Yeah. So if he gets hurt again, and he will, Ben, as a Dolphin fan, he's not going to last the season. He can't get breathed on without getting a concussion. If you look at the majority of his concussions, he's not getting buried. Most of these just, you know, little tackles left and right. This last one, he hit his head against the guy's chest. Big deal. He's not going to last the season. So I just don't want him and his family to come out and say, well, the Dolphin doctor said it was okay to play. I don't, if it's me and it's my head, I don't care what any doctor says. I know after having 2, 3, 4, really who knows how many concussions he's really had, that I'm susceptible to this. And, you know, I can only take so many before something serious is going to happen. So, but if he wants to play, all right, I suppose. But don't play because the doctors are saying it's safe, because it's not safe. You don't have to be a doctor to know that. It's clearly not safe for him to play.
Three documented concussions since the start of the 2022 NFL season. Scott, the peculiar and devastating things about head injury is there is still so much unknown. One of the few things that we do know for certain, once you have one concussion, it makes your chances of getting a second and a third and so on and so forth all that much more likely. You hope Tua Tagovailoa can protect himself. He was asked about wearing a guardian cap, which we have seen in various spots throughout the NFL this year. He said he does not want to do that. It's his personal decision. It does seem like it's the personal decision made by Tua and the Tagovailoa family for him to be back. You hope he avoids any significant injuries moving forward. The odds makers still believing in Miami with Tua out there offensively. But to your point, Scott, what Mike McDaniel has done since Tua Tagovailoa's injury, despicable, disgraceful, not in terms of how he has carried himself, but how he has coordinated an offense. He is supposed to be this boy genius, the akin of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, all of his buddies that he grew up in the coaching ranks with. And yeah, the first week after that scary situation to go out there and put up three in Seattle with Skylar Thompson will give you a pass. But to have Snoop Huntley in your facility for nearly a month and still score at most 15 points against atrocious football teams and at least bad defenses, to be the worst scoring offense in the NFL, to give the ball to Tyreek Hill once through the air on Sunday against Indianapolis? I don't even understand it, Scott. It's not like they had eight guys surrounding Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage. It makes no sense to me. You hope that Tua Tagovailoa can help with that. Again, Scott, we have said it's not like the AFC has been the gauntlet or the competitive conference that we predicted it to be. The Dolphins, sure, are 2-4, but a plus 245 playoff price. There is a little bit of hope that the Finns with Tua can turn things around.
That would be it, right? I mean, just from a gambling perspective, you know, you think Tua's going to come back. The offense is all of a sudden going to kick it into gear. I'm sure it will. It does make you appreciate maybe Tua a little bit more when you see the backup quarterbacks be so bad. You want to give me 2.5, considering, you know, even at 2-4, they're realistically a game and a half, two games back of a playoff spot. That's actually not a bad price, but I just don't think Tua's going to last. A game, two games, three games, four games, but I think it's just a matter of time. You know, he was able to last all last year, I hear people saying, but he didn't get a concussion last year. Go 2 years ago when he got a concussion, and then he got two or three of them in 1 year, as you were saying. Yeah. Once you get the first one, it's that much more easier to get the second one. Fortunately for Tua, he didn't get the first one. So, but that Dolphin team is just I don't know how you explain that, Ben. You have Tyreek. I don't care if you just say, Tyreek, you know what? The 1 yard across the line of scrimmage, we're going to throw you the football because we want you to touch the ball and just do something. They weren't even smart enough to do that. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling how bad that offense was with the so-called genius on the sidelines. He has really gotten exposed for it's a mean word, and I don't mean it as bad as it's going to sound, but for being a fraud. You know, listen, you got all that great talent in San Francisco. You and I could be an offensive coordinator for the Niners. You know, you're not a genius from that.
And Scott, when they have been an underdog, they have been atrocious under Mike McDaniel, as we saw on Sunday in Indy. The good news is they're laying points at home with the hopeful return of Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday against Arizona. More quarterback news around the NFL comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Scott, one of the games in week number 8 that everybody had circled from the start of the year and then got really excited by, with two rookie quarterbacks leading their teams to two winning records. It's the Commanders and the Bears on Sunday outside the nation's capital. It's the matchup of number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams, and his 4-2 Bears team fresh off a bye. And number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels, and his Commanders team that is now 5-2. But Scott, unfortunately, not great news for Jaden Daniels, who of course was injured early in the opening half of Sunday's throttling of Carolina at home. A rib injury for Jaden Daniels that Dan Quinn told the media yesterday they consider week to week, but remain hopeful he could potentially play on Sunday. I'm not sure he's going to be out there for this matchup of 1 versus 2.
Yeah, and the boys in Vegas, who know well before everyone else, are telling you he's not playing because they get the Bears as a favorite, right? So with Marcus Mariota, then quarterback in Washington, there's no way in the world they would be a favorite. So that's too bad. You know, I mean, that would have been a built-up. They moved it to 4 o'clock. Everyone talking about how great a matchup it would have been, and it would have been. Caleb Williams now kind of holding up his end of the bargain after it was Jaden Daniels. So, but if you're Washington, you know, as great as it would be, and listen, at this point, you're realistically trying to win that division. You know, you don't want to have to play with Marcus Mariota, even though he did play very well against Carolina. I was surprised, but still, you know, you don't want to rush the kid back, right? Why take any crazy chances? I know the same people weren't there, but we kind of lived this with Washington with RG3 just a few years ago. So I'm okay with them being conservative with him.
Yeah, the line working to Chicago, now 2.5 points. If you want to keep it under 3, that field goal in favor of the Bears, you got to pay. It's minus 120 worth the juice. And Scott, two quarterbacks playing really, really well. Jaden Daniels, a historic start to his NFL career. Caleb Williams struggling to start for the last 3 games for Chicago on this 3-game win streak. So much better. 4 touchdown tosses in London. The odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year also moving, potentially because of Jaden Daniels missing some time and Caleb Williams playing better. Daniels now just minus 115 to win the award. 2 weeks ago, he was greater than a $2 odds-on favorite. Caleb Williams back to even money, plus 100. Quarterback injury news for the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell set to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb on his right throwing hand. They've added Desmond Ridder, but it should be Gardner Minshew to keep getting the starts. Scott, this Raiders team in a tailspin right now. It's not going to be Minshew or Ridder, or even if O'Connell was healthy as the quarterback of the future. I expect the Raiders to have one of the five worst records in the NFL this year. They'll be drafting early in April in the 2025 NFL draft. I think they'll be picking their quarterback of the future come this April.
Yeah, I think they kind of made that decision when they got rid of Devontae Adams, right? So, listen, yeah. No one wants to see a quarterback get hurt, or anybody get hurt for that matter, but this might be a blessing in disguise, Ben. Rather than going 7-10 and thinking maybe it's Gardner Minshew, if it's Aiden O'Connell leading you to 7-10, then you see some hope maybe, but, yeah, you know, really, is Aiden O'Connell going to win you a Super Bowl the next 10 years? Probably not, right? I mean, it's the old case of it's better to bottom out, suffer the lumps 1 year, go draft a quarterback, and just hope that, you know, he's the next Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. No guarantee. You know, arms long right. List of quarterbacks taken in the top 10, you know, that weren't any good. So it's not a guarantee, but this is the first step. So, suffer through a rough year, which it figures to be, and then go draft a quarterback next season.
And more quarterback news, but not because of injury. Brian Daboll telling reporters the Giants are sticking with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback. Scott, we saw Drew Locke come in garbage time as the Giants were getting blasted by the Eagles at home on Sunday. Are the Giants doing the right thing, continuing to stick with Danny Dimes?
Probably. He's got no money left after this year, so they don't have any ties to him after this season. They're probably going to let him go. So I guess they figure, Ben, you know what? This is it. This is your team. This is your year. Barring something crazy, an injury, whatever. And you know what? We're going to sync with you. You know, let's get Neighbors back. Remember, he hasn't played in a couple of games. So let's get him back. Let's get everyone healthy. Yeah. Eagles came up all fired up. All right, they laid an egg. I could still... I would have been a little surprised if they went with Locke. You know, if it happens again this week, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, it's not all on Daniel Jones, but it hasn't looked pretty offensively. The G-Men in primetime visiting Pittsburgh next Monday night as a hefty underdog. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. FFC returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.